This is episode 18 on Beyond Athletic.
I've always tried to view volleyball as a vehicle. You know, it's not just something I love and a passion, but it's something that's been able to take me places that otherwise I just would never have been able to do or see.
You might be smarter, your daddy might own a company, but you will not outwork me.
This one right here is for the people.
I'm your host, Ryan J. Owens, current pro athlete, entrepreneur, and former USA national team volleyball player. I will not be defined by my athleticism alone, but I've learned how to leverage it to stay passionate about it and prepare for life. That's why the Beyond Athletic podcast was born. I'll bring you case studies of current and former elite athletes making it happen in life, as well as tips and lessons from top sources in sports, nutrition, fitness, entrepreneurship, and more. I'm here to tell you that you are Beyond Athletic. Hey there, Beyond Athletic listeners. Today we've got on Tabby Love of Team Canada. This is a fantastic interview where we get into her reasons to going, or her reasons for going to a U.S. college and then transferring actually to another college, and her road in pro so far. And we talked a bit about her struggles with if volleyball really was the only thing that was possible for her. And when she figured out that it wasn't, how she set her goals and how she recovered after being injured in Poland, after being the leading scorer in that league last year, halfway through the year. And so it's a lovely interview with her. I think you're going to enjoy it. We did it on the first of the year, so I was happy to start the year off with a fantastic interview. If you like the interview, make sure that you're listening via iTunes when possible, or Stitcher. This means that it can be downloaded to your iPhone, tablet, Android, and you can just have each episode immediately when it's released, it'll be downloaded to your device and you don't have to worry about checking in all the time. So a fantastic way to do that. Make sure you leave a review wherever you're listening to this. And thanks so much for the support. And we're definitely looking for help for Elite Sports Students Non-For-Profit, which is a global non-for-profit helping mentor, tutor, and give exposure to young athletes around the world. You can go to beyondathletic.com/help and sign up there. If you're a student, go to beyondathletic.com/ESS and enjoy the show. Happy New Year. Ryan J. Owens here. Today we've got on a great guest, Tabby Love. She's our featured guest today from Team Canada. Tabby, are you ready to share your story?
I am ready.
Awesome. Tabby is a small town girl from a small city in Manitoba, Canada. She's the oldest of four children. She started playing volleyball at 12. We're going to learn a little bit more when she goes into that about how she did that and why. As a freshman, she went to university in Minnesota at University of Minnesota. She was named most outstanding player of the region, and she went to the Elite Eight, which is the top eight teams in the playoffs of the NCAA. She then transferred to UCLA, one of the top schools in the nation also. In her junior year, she won the national championship there and was named first team All-American and a ton more. As a pro, she's been on the Puerto Rican All-Star team. She led the Polish league in kills and scoring until she got injured halfway through the season. And for Team Canada, just recently, she was named MVP and best biker at the World Championship qualifications. And now you're playing in Baku. So, I mean, you've done already a ton. You're 23 years old. And now that we know a little bit more about your accomplishments, why don't you take a moment to share just a little bit about you personally and share some things about your sports career and goals?
Okay. Well, as you said, I'm from a small town in Manitoba, about 8,000 or 9,000 people. Growing up, I did a lot of different sports. I was exposed to swimming, basketball, track and field, badminton. I really tried to do it all. And I was really fortunate in that sense that I didn't have to pick one sport from a really young age. Going to the States for college was an awesome experience. I was so glad that I was able to do it. it was a little bit of an adjustment at first, leaving my family and moving to very bigger cities, especially in LA. It was a huge adjustment. But I really look back on it with really fond memories. And now playing pro, it's definitely a new experience every season going to these foreign countries. I'm super fortunate that my husband is able to come with me for a lot of them, so it's been not so hard of an adjustment. But, you know, it's been really fun so far. I'm really loving Baku this year. I think it's definitely my favorite place that I've played so far. And, you know, with the national team, we had a great summer this past summer, and we're looking forward to this summer with Grand Prix again, and hopefully Rio.
Rad. So I see that no one else is going to be able to see the video. It's kind of just for us, especially since it's the first time we actually get to see and talk to each other. I see you're wearing maybe a jersey or something. Were you just at training?
Oh, no, it's just a practice shirt. I have training right away. Not right away, a couple hours.
I love it. You know, like as athletes, it's so funny that we just kind of trot around in our gear no matter the time of day.
Yep.
So anyways, before we get into today's topics, like lessons from your failures, your triumphs, some of your aha moments where it just clicked, and just how you managed to keep competing at a high level, why don't you take a moment to share what keeps you motivated? Do you have a quote or mantra?
I have a couple different quotes. The one that comes to mind the most, it doesn't even really have to do with volleyball. My mom, from a really young age, was really trying to teach me about empathy and trying to understand people more, because as a volleyball player playing a team sport, you know, with five other people on the court with you, you really have to try to be the best teammate you can, because, you know, things are going to happen where you have to make sure that you're putting other people before yourself. And so the quote that comes to mind for me is, seek first to understand, then to be understood. And I think that that's really helped me in more than just volleyball, life in general, really. And that's one thing that I always just try to think of every single day.
I love that you pointed out that it helps you in life, not just volleyball. And that's so important that we remember that those two things are so separate, you know, our sport and our life, but they're one in the same because the lessons from each apply to each other. And Stephen Covey was the person who said that. Thanks for sharing. Now, one of the things that I like to do now, and I've picked this up because I've been studying some of the more successful entrepreneurs, because that's really kind of one of my hobbies is entrepreneurship and businesses, especially ones that add value and solve serious problems. And one of the things that I've learned that's common amongst all of them, and also some of the top pros, or let's just say more like Olympians in the world, people who have just been champions time and time again, is that they're always reminding themselves of what they're grateful for. And they're sharing that gratefulness with other people. So could you take a moment just to share a few random things that you might be grateful for today on the 1st of January, 2015?
I'm super grateful that the opportunities volleyball has given me. I've always tried to view volleyball as a vehicle. You know, it's not just something I love and a passion, but it's something that's been able to take me places that otherwise I just would never have been able to do or see, whether it's because of finances or just, you know, not having the opportunity. The volleyball has really helped me in that sense. And I'm also grateful, you know, for my family and friends back home that have constantly been supporting me. Being from a small town, I really had to put myself out there to get into the bigger leagues to be noticed. For example, playing club volleyball my last 2 years of high school, I had to drive almost 5 hours to get to practice. And that was my parents driving me because I couldn't drive at the time. And I've just had everybody's constant support from day one, and I'm just so grateful, because without them, I definitely wouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, the support of other people, I mean, it gets us so far. And what I've seen is a lot of athletes, actually, especially abroad, they feel like they don't have a support system. And so what I'm trying to do with this podcast is really give them some kind of support system where, you know, I love the quote that I think it's Jim Rohn, and it's, you are the average of the five closest people to you. And I think that if we can put people like yourself and myself who have done something that athletes aspire to do, then it's going to give them such a huge head start. So thanks so much for sharing that. And speaking of people who are really vital in our lives, who is your biggest mentor so far in life? Or actually, let's go with sport.
Okay. I would definitely say that would be my father. He was the one that got me into volleyball, watching him coach his high school team when I was probably 8 years old starting is really what introduced me to the sport itself. And he coached me in club for most of my career until I graduated. And then after that, he's the one that I go to after games to get an analysis breakdown. He's the one that really helps me work on technique, watch video, all that stuff. He's always there, and I'm really appreciative of that.
Yeah, that's actually another person, and I think you heard her episode with Maddie. Her mother was also her coach, so it makes sense why that person I know is also one of the most influential people in your lives. So, and one of the lessons that I want people to take from this, and why I asked Tabby about her mentor, is because it's really important that we get coaches or mentors. They're one and the same. That basically, whatever we want to do in life, these people have already done it or they're doing it, and they can help us learn how to do it. And it's not something you could just be like, you got lucky, it was your father, and Mari got lucky because it was her mother. But if it weren't them, then it would have been someone else. And sometimes we have to seek these people out if they're not in our daily lives. And so don't be afraid to find somebody who's great at exactly what you want to be great at and reach out to them. So, all right, Tabby, before we dive into the positive stuff, the tips and the tools, the fear stops most people before they ever have a chance of becoming champions and getting anywhere and the go with the goals that they have, right? So let's learn about time that fears, or let's say the things that we hope wouldn't come true came true for you. So, why don't you share with us the biggest obstacle or fear until now that you've had, and just take us to that moment so we can experience it.
Okay. The biggest fear that came to mind for me when I was thinking about this question is my first summer back with the national team. I had just finished off a really good season in Puerto Rico, and I was really excited to come back. Growing up and being in the American college system, I had been a left side hitter my whole career, but I hadn't been a passer for my 4 years of college. And so when I was in Puerto Rico, I also didn't pass. I played mostly right side, but I came back to the national team and I was super excited and I was going to get to play left side again and I was really excited. And so I went to my first two tournaments, the Pan Am Cup and to the FISU Games. And I was really thinking I was going to play. I was so excited to contribute. And for the first time, I found myself on the bench. And the coach had a really good talk with me. He was telling me that, it's just because your passing isn't there. We'll give you some playing time, but you're going to have to get better at passing. And I remember going into my first game, I was able to get some playing time, and I was just so scared that I was going to mess it up, blow my chance, that I just could not do anything. Like, I had so terrible timing on my high balls. My hand was all limp. I couldn't get the ball to spin. I was so embarrassed, and I ended up getting pulled. And the coach just had a really good talk with me after the game, and he was just so concerned on why this was happening. In practice, I had been so good. And I explained to him that, this is my first international game. I really wanted to prove to everyone that I could play at this level and that I just didn't have the self-confidence. And he had a lot of good advice for me, and he explained to me that, you have to believe in the work that you've put in, and that you go to the gym every single day, you've been playing volleyball for many years, and that there's no need to have these fears when it comes to the game because you have to just trust your preparation. And so for the rest of the summer, we are training for our next big tournament, which is the Norseca Championships, and that was in Omaha that year. And I went into that first game and I knew that I was ready, and I just really felt that I could trust myself, and I knew that my teammates trusted me, and I knew that my coaches trusted me. And that tournament was probably the best tournament I have ever played in. And so I just really think that you have to learn to trust yourself as a player and not rely on those around you. It's obviously great if those around you believe in you and they verbalize that belief, but you really just need to find it within yourself that you have what it takes.
Yeah, great takeaways there. And something I want to like push that fast forward or actually rewind button back a little bit to touch on is when you talked about your coach. You know, it was after you had gotten and you tanked, and this is after being benched. And I think at some point in every athlete's career, this is going to happen. And I can think back right when you were telling this story. You know, you're actually a really good storyteller because I'm thinking at the same time, like, man, I remember that time when I was benched, you know? And I was so excited. And then right after that, I tanked because I got in my own head, you know, where you said, he said, you have to believe in the work that you've put in. And this is key. Mia Yerkov, one of the podcasts so far, was an excellent episode. If you guys haven't heard it, go back and check it out. You know, if you go to beyondathletic.com and in the search bar, you just put in Mia, MIA, you'll find her. But she talks so much about preparation. And if you prepare, it's the only way to feel like you're ready. And it's also what gives you your confidence. And so, thanks so much for sharing that, you know, because I was a middle, and then I switched to a opposite. I kind of lied to my European team. So if they're hearing this, sorry that I lied, but I really wanted to play, you know, like as a position four someday or, you know, hit balls more often. I mean, Justin Duff, you know Justin Duff, Team Canada. Him and I talk about this all the time, and I'm just like, man, as a middle, they just weren't setting me high enough. I needed something better. And you know, when I started receiving, I just, ooh, man, it was scary. So I'm gonna use what you said myself, because really, I think if you prepare, you are gonna be really, really, really ready and very confident. So now, I want you to think back. I mean, you shared right now one big moment that fear took over. And I wonder, is there any time, because we're all in these circumstances where games are on the line, right? And that game could be just, you know, one of those regular season matches where the points do matter, or it could be a championship match. But at the end of the day, all of these matches, those points are really important, you know. In terms of wins or losses, let's say. Could you take us to a moment where you failed, in a moment that you should have done something, or maybe you did it and you just did it wrong? And what happened?
Oh, I'm sure there's been so many games where that has happened. Well, I remember one game. This was back in high school, so it might not have seemed as important as some of these bigger college games. But, you know, in that situation, I was the go-to player to an extreme. And we were playing an arch rival team, and we had been down 14-6 in the fifth set, and we were about to lose. And I just thought we could come back, and we were able to come back and chip away, and it was getting super close. And I really thought that we were maybe going to take the set back. You know, we probably got to about 12, 11 or 12 points. You know, we were right there. Everybody was cheering. You know, you could just feel it that we were so close. And I got set the ball, and I was just thinking in my head, I am going to crush this ball so hard and get this point. You know, we're going to win this set. And I hit it out of bounds by probably a good 5 feet at least. And the defeating feeling that I felt, you know, and everybody came up after, and you know, it was a good fight, you know, you had it, next time you got it. But obviously, you know, that feeling stays with you, and it's rough. But I think that those are the moments that you really learn so much about yourself. You know, it's to me, it's all about mentality. If you go in and in that moment you feel like I am going to get this point, you know, this is me, they believe in me, that's why they set me, then I think that good things will happen. It's when you start feeling timid and you start doubting, or please don't set me, you know, those moments of fear, that's the wrong mentality. That's not what you don't want to have. And I think that even though I may have missed that point and lost that game, I think that it gave me confidence that in the next game, I knew as soon as that game was over that if that same situation happened in the next game, that I would get that point and it would be over and we'd win. And so I think it's all about just the confidence you can have in yourself.
Yeah, I love that because it reminds me, and I mean, I think this is going to take a lot of players back to moments where they have tried, you know, they took that risk that maybe their coach or everybody's talking about, And it just did not pan out. You know, there was no gold at the bottom of that sixth when they went for it. But it makes me remember, like, I had a setter, Chris Thomas of Team USA. Now he's married to the former USA women's captain, Jen Joynes, and they have a lovely baby. But anyways, that's off topic. And he would set me the ball when I was playing opposite with him in Finland. And I would just go up. And I mean, it was just pretty much like, hey, put it a little lobby, put it kind of, you know, close to the net, and I'll just try and go over everybody. And just high and hard was the motto, right? And so I remembered, I had taken a year off before that, and I would miss by a couple inches, you know, and it was, you know, towards the end of the game, and I would feel like, oh my God, I can't believe I missed. And you get drawn into this feeling of the next point, oh my God, I can't miss, I can't miss, I can't miss, you know. And so, like you said, I mean, it's all mentality. If you feel like that you're gonna do it, you're gonna do it. And you won't always do it, but hey, you're gonna do it most of the time. So I love that you learn a lot about yourself, which is what you said, when you fail. And I want people to take that in life too. You know, you might have any kind of test in life and you might fail, but you're gonna learn something from it and you can ace that next test. So thanks so much for sharing. And now that we've gone over some of your failures, I mean, I know we're brought you on not for what you failed at, but for what you've done so far. So now is that moment where you can share with us your epiphany moment, your aha moment, where you were playing as an athlete and then some things just weren't clicking. And then finally, one day, I mean, it just clicked, whatever that thing was. Can you take us there and tell us what that was?
My situation that I thought of when I was thinking about this was it's to do with volleyball, but it's a little bit more like it didn't happen in a game. Last year in Poland was a really hard season for me. You know, it was my first season in Europe, and I thought that, you know, from being away in college and going to Puerto Rico, I had this whole pro thing just down, and you know, it was a few hours further in a plane away from home, but everything would be fine. The first half of the season, as you mentioned earlier, went really well. And then in February 2nd, actually, I went down with a really bad ankle sprain. I had torn ligaments on both sides. They were worried I'd need surgery. They put me in a cast, and they're just like, "We'll see how it goes in a couple of weeks." And I ended up getting the cast taken off early, and I was trying to come back, but just nothing was working. My vertical dropped like 4 or 5 inches. I was so in my head about coming back that nothing seemed to be working, and I felt depressed. I don't know if I actually was, but I was really questioning, you know, why am I even playing volleyball? Why am I here? You know, I could be at home. It'd be so much easier to be at home. I could get a normal person job, wouldn't be away from my family. And I think that I just really got sucked into, well, it was really just self-pity, but I felt like I had no purpose, and I felt that I was unhappy, and it was everything else's fault that I was unhappy, not my own. And you know, I would just call my parents crying, "Please just let me come home. Like, I don't want to be a volleyball player anymore. It's too hard." And you know, my dad started telling me this quote that "you make your own weather." And at first I was like, "Dad, that's such a stupid quote. I hate that quote." But the more times he'd say it, I started to listen, and you know, it's totally true that I realized that I control my own happiness and my outlook for that day. And once I started realizing that, then everything in my life I felt became so much easier. It translated to volleyball, of course, you know, going to practice. It wasn't, "Oh, just another practice," or, you know, "Man, I wish I was somewhere else right now." It was, "Hey, this is 2 hours to work on getting better." And whether it's a volleyball skill or just being a better teammate or being, you know, helping someone out, like making their day better. For me, this just like lifted so much of a burden off my back. I realized that I was here for a purpose. I was playing for a purpose, and it wasn't for other people or, you know, for glory or anything that you get caught up in sometimes as an athlete, you know, worried about your reputation or if you're pleasing everybody. You know, I just realized that I was doing this for me, and this was my journey, and all of a sudden things got a lot easier in my life.
Yeah, Tabby, I love it because, you know, these are the moments that really define us, not only as athletes, but as people. And when we find these these kind of truths. You know, your father said a truth. You make your own weather. You know, we control how we feel for that day and how we walk around, what our outlook is. I love one of the other things that I really want to point out in there is that I had a player recently come to me, and I don't want to name her because I don't know if she'd get shy and mad at me. But anyways, and she was feeling a little down and, you know, homesick and et cetera, and I said, listen, the easiest way, like you said, actually, the easiest way to get over this is to think about other people. Add value to other people's lives and see what happens. You're going to be so surprised how fast you're not so homesick. You're not so, you know, sad about things, because that value that you give away, I mean, it comes back to you in so many different ways. And that's not the reason you should do it, but you should know that giving away something is not going to take everything away from you. So those are a couple of takeaways I got from that aha moment for you. And I think a lot of people can get a lot of value from all of that. So thanks for sharing. Listen, what I'd like to hear now is your proudest moment so far in life.
Ooh, that's a heavy question. I think my proudest moment in my life was coming back 2 summers ago, my first summer back with the national team. And we had a series where we hosted Peru. And we played Peru probably 6 days in a row. And it was getting to the point where we didn't want to really play with the same people anymore. And I'm sure they felt the same way. We were just kind of, oh, let's get this over with. But the very last day was the day that my parents were able to come. And we ended up beating Peru, which was nice, but it had nothing to do with that. I played okay. I don't really remember even how I played, but I just remember that after the game, I was able to look up into the stands, and I was able to see my whole entire family, and that hasn't happened so many times in my life. I was fortunate that when I was at the University of Minnesota, that was closer to home. It was about a 9-hour drive, and they made that drive quite a few times in those 2 years, but yeah, I know. Once I moved to LA, it just was too hard. And so they came for senior night, but that was it. And, you know, I have both sets of grandparents and my family and an aunt and uncle all in my hometown. And they don't get to see me play that often. And, you know, these professional games aren't always online. And I try to give them recaps and post pictures and stuff. But just to see them all there and to see them so happy, they didn't care that we won. I don't think, you know, my parents, I don't think my little brother and sisters, like, I don't think they even were watching. They wouldn't know how many points I scored or, you know, what my hitting percentage was, even though those things mattered to me. They were just so happy to be there and to be able to support me. And I think that that, to me, was the most proud moment I've ever had in my, for sure, my athletic career.
Now that we know, I mean, a ton more, we know about how you failed, really. We know when you took a risk and it didn't work out. We know some your aha moments when it just clicked for you, and now really your proudest moment. And I love that. You know, family, I remember the first time someone in my, I call it extended family because I don't have your typical family structure, but when somebody that meant a ton to me said that they saw my video live over the internet when I was playing, and I just went, oh my God, that's so awesome. You know, I couldn't, they weren't even there, but it meant so much to me because you want to share your passion with other people. So I feel your pride in that moment. Listen, what I'd like to know, because one of the things with this podcast also is I want to show people that, you know, whatever you want, kind of the world is your oyster, let's just say, go after it, get it. You know, if you see it, if you believe it, I mean, you can achieve it. It sounds corny, and I think that's even a quote, but hey, do it. What made a small town girl from Manitoba, Canada, want to go to the U.S.? And I mean, what steps did you take to make that happen if you were to sum everything up pretty quickly?
I think that for me, it was just wanting to know how good I could be. I think that from the earliest point that I started playing, I wanted to know how good I could, how far I could take this. That I think that was the driving factor to me, because I never wanted to look back on my life or my athletic career and ever have a question or a doubt of, well, I wonder how that could have gone. And I think that that always has pushed me to just to try to find out, you know, doing extra or doing whatever it took just to see how far I could get.
What steps did you take to make that happen?
Well, it started by playing for more well-known coaches and clubs in high school. And then we have, in Canada, there are some scouting combines in different provinces. So you can go there, and it's normally American coaches that come up from different levels, you know, Division I for sure, and I think some D2 coaches come sometimes too. And that gets you exposure. And then being involved with other teams, like provincial teams or like high-performance groups such as maybe the youth or junior national team, all those experiences, you know, even emailing coaches. I remember, you know, I was lucky because my parents helped me out with it. But my dream was to go to Stanford for the longest time. And I remember my parents fake emailing me saying, oh, hey, how's Stanford going? And I'm like, 12 years old, Stanford's great. It's awesome. I love it here.
I love that.
But he would email all these coaches saying, hey, I have this daughter who's interested. Are you interested? You know, could we come out to a camp this summer? You know, not so much making them come to us, but what can we do? How can we put us out there so that I could get noticed? And I think that that really helped.
Yeah, I actually love that. And the timing couldn't be better for me to be asking this question, because I am about to put out one of my first podcast sessions that's like solo. And what I wanted to do is touch on exactly this, you know. And I mean, I could do something generally, how to find a team, right? And I think I will in the future, but I really want to give people tools on how to get to college, you know, because you didn't just go, I'm guessing, to challenge yourself just in a sports arena. I mean, you also went to challenge yourself academically and accomplish some goals there, right?
For sure, for sure.
Yeah. So what I'm going to do is basically have a podcast where I highlight all of the steps for somebody from, you know, step one, which is preparation, like you were talking about. And step two, you know, find the best team you can, find the best coaches you can get around. And then things like exposure you talked about. Exposure is huge. You know, try to videotape all of your matches if possible, if you're in some remote area, and do it however possible. And sometimes you can't tell people that, you know, you want to leave your area, because a lot of people honestly are jealous, especially if you come from areas where you don't have a lot. Some people are going to want to hold you back. They're going to keep you on their level because they're afraid of if they were to try and do that and fail. And so they don't want you to. They want you to fail also. So, you know, get that exposure and then be proactive. I mean, that's some of the things you touched on. That proactiveness, I mean, that's how I got scouted by all the D1 colleges that I ended up getting scouted by. And I ended up trying to choose to go to Pepperdine, and it didn't work out because of some clerical error in the long run. But hey, I mean, I was right there. And then when I wanted to play on my pro teams, I found teams. I emailed them. When I wanted to go to the national team, you know what? I emailed Hugh McCutcheon and Ron Larson. I said, yo, I want to come. You know, just get out there and make it happen for yourself. So those are some great lessons. Now, what's got you most excited these days in terms of your hobbies and your goals, let's say?
Well, I'm really excited. I'm considering going back to school via an online program, a master's program in holistic nutrition. And so I'm really trying to get everything together for that. And other than that, I'm just really excited about our season here in Baku. We leave actually tomorrow, well, tonight, really late, to Antalya, Turkey. We're playing in the Gloria Cup. And then right from there, we're going to a Champions League game in Romania. So, you know, just being here, I'm so happy to be in this situation. The team here is really awesome. And so that's what's got me going right now.
Yeah, I love that. And congrats, and I wish you the best of success in all of that in the next match. With the school thing, I do want to highlight that. You know, I knew when I was going to have you on that there was going to be something, a lot of great things that would come out of it. And this is another great thing. You're an athlete, you're 23, yet you haven't stopped trying to seek knowledge and pursue passions of yours. And so holistic medicine is obviously a passion of yours, right?
Yes. I think as like professional athletes, we get really caught up in sometimes, you know, like, oh, I have double days, or, you know, I'm so busy, I'm always on the road. But I think that there's always so much more time than we think. And, you know, it's easier when you're in college and everything is structured for you, and so your time management skills are probably better than what they really are. But I think that here, you know, whether I've had teams that, you know, they're involved with community development type things, or, you know, one of my teammates right now is going and she's like reading to young kids in elementary schools in English, but still, like, there's always opportunities to get involved with things. And if you're interested in education, there's actually websites that offer free university courses from different colleges in the state. And so there's a lot of opportunities.
I love it. Tabby, you and me, we're like bonding right now because you're dropping knowledge bombs and opportunity bombs left and right. Like, they're actually called MOOCs. They're massive open online courses, these free courses that she's talking about. And some of the best institutions, universities, colleges around the world, I'm talking Cambridge, Oxford, Stanford, Yale, whatever, UCLA, you name it, they've got some free courses on their site. And one of the great things is you can go to aggregators out there, which is basically companies that put all of that together for you and get that online. And one of them is Course Talk. And I actually just partnered with them for elite sports students, my non-for-profit, which is going to help mentor, tutor through MOOCs, and Showcase, which is that exposure that you're talking about for athletes, both athletically and academically. And MOOCs is going to be a huge part of that. And whoever that teammate is, by the way, I definitely want to get their contact info because I want to get them involved with elite sports students like I know you're going to be. So thanks so much for highlighting that. And, you know, I wish you all the best with pursuing your holistic medicine postgraduate studies. That's awesome. And yes, I know I'm ranting on and on, but you do have more time, people. Like, you have so much more time. I mean, for example, I'm traveling the world and I'm not doing it on a ton of money. I run a small agency. I run, you know, elite sports students. I'm doing this podcast. I'm still training. I'm taking care of my puppy. I'm meeting, you know, young girls to help them get to college, and now boys in all sports, you know, in my free time. You have more time than you believe. You just got to prioritize what's most important to you in life. For instance, Tabby, you're taking out your time on this day, which is the first of the year, and you're doing a podcast to help people. I mean, that's so selfless. So thank you so much for that. And now what I want to do is we're going to get into our tip jar. So this is going to be Tabby Love's tip jar for everybody who just wants to learn a little bit of, like, what can you do pretty quickly and kind of stay motivated. So what's the best advice you've ever received?
For life in general, is to view each day as an opportunity, not as an obligation. And I think that if you do that, then you will realize that you are so much better off than you think, and it will translate to your overall happiness. And also when you're on the court, I think that you'll realize that you're way more blessed than you think being there, and it'll make you want to work harder and be better. And I think that in the end, that's what it's all about.
Thanks. And for these next ones, what I want to do is just get kind of like a quick, you know, very concise answer, and then maybe one little reason why. And we're just going to kind of blast through a few of these to give people something quick fire. But what's a personal habit that you believe contributes most to your success in getting to where you are today?
Hard work.
Love it. And what was holding you back from getting to your current level?
Fear.
Fear? In what way?
Just being in my own head, worrying more about what other people thought of me or what other people were saying my potential could be versus where I was. I felt that that really, for the longest time, was holding me from being what I could be.
And just really quick, what's kind of how you got over that? How did you do that?
I think that it was constantly, like, even verbally out loud, reminding myself that, you know, I'm good enough. I deserve to be here. I deserve to get the recognition that I get. I deserve to believe in myself, all of those things. And I think that it's really just, like, repetition to truly, you know, it's kind of the fake it until you make it thing. You know, mm-hmm. Even when you're in a game, even if you really, you're scared out of your mind, you know, it's a big rival or a big game. If you really just continually tell yourself over and over, you know, I got this, I can do this, mm-hmm. I'm good enough to be doing this, you know, then you just really, you do start to believe it. Because, you know, people can tell you as many times as they can, you know, you can do this, you can do this. But if you don't believe in yourself, then you'll never be able to do it.
Yeah, I love that. And just a quick side note on that, you know, you said repetition and affirmations, which are basically positive things that you tell yourself that are true, you know, but sometimes you just have to remind yourself verbally, hey, out loud, yo, I'm good enough. I can do this. You know, I'm a champion. Going back to Mia's, I remember one of her biggest setbacks in the sport at some point on the course, she just went, you know what? No, I'm a champion. I am not going to let this happen. I'm going to get it done. And so I think that's a big difference between just average, even professionals or players of any sport out there, is that they don't tell themselves, you know, they accept what other people tell them, and you can't accept what other people tell you. So if you have to, like Tabby did, find something to say to yourself. You know, if maybe you're struggling with hitting or with attacking or with whatever sport it is, whatever you're doing, you know, challenging some hill when you're cycling, tell yourself right before, I got this. You know, have some key word that you say that just triggers that emotion. And yeah, go on with it. So listen, what's the best technique you've used to get rid of negative thoughts while competing?
Probably talking out loud to myself, as terrible as it sounds.
Yeah.
But, you know, I try, if you know, when I was in college and I didn't play back row, when I was on the bench, I would try to, you know, think about things that I had done right just to distract myself from maybe being worried about going back in or worried about the score or the outcome of the game. I would just tell myself, oh, that was a really good hit. You know, you hit high and hard on that one, or your footwork on that block was really good. And I'd always remind myself of the good things. Mm-hmm. And now when I play all the way around and I don't have those longer mental breaks, it's a little bit easier because you have to focus on the next play a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. But no, still, you know, just sometimes I do have to really say it out loud, and I probably look like I'm crazy, but you know, I believe it when I hear it. When I say it out loud, it's true. Because in your head, you know, you hear both voices sometimes, and it's hard to distinguish which one you should listen to. But no, I think that, you know, just constantly telling yourself, that's what helped me.
Yeah, I love that. And how long do you sleep, and what's your morning ritual? And then include in that, how early do you show up to training?
I try to sleep at least 8 hours a night, probably closer to 9 most times. I wake up probably at least 3 hours before a training session because I like to eat well before, and then if I have to eat a little snack or something again before, then I'll do that. But I like to have to make sure that I've digested and everything well before a match or a training session. And in the morning, I like to, when I get up, I also do it before bed, I'll do a lot of stretching and sometimes some deep breathing techniques. And I feel like this just really grounds me. It gets me ready for the day. And also, you know, when I'm really wired up at night, it also helps in that situation too. But I think, at least for me, I've always taken stretching for granted. I never used to stretch. Stretching's stupid, you know. Who needs to stretch in volleyball? But no, I think that just taking the time to really just wake yourself up slowly and just get ready for the day and get your mind right, I think that that's really important to my routine. And then I'll head over to practice. Now we're on a bus, so the bus picks us up probably half an hour before. But normally I'd like to get there about an hour before so that I could get ready slowly for about half an hour before and then head on to the court. I like to be on the court like 20 to 25 minutes before practice starts just to do some extra stuff before we get going.
I love that. It's a very common ritual for a lot of the top pros and best players in the world of whatever sport, is to be there early and prepare and take care of yourself first before you get to the team stuff. So thanks for sharing. What's one thing you like to do when you go to a new team or a new gym just to adjust?
I like to do a lot of extra reps. I'm probably that like annoying person, and I'm always like really conscious to, I'm really sorry if this is annoying you, but you know, with, I love to just stay after or even come in before and do extra reps for things that matter, for like focal distances, for example, like serving or serve receive, or like hitting high balls in new gyms, you know, when you're worried about the lights sometimes. Mm-hmm. I really think that if I take the time, and it doesn't have to be so long, but once you get a few good reps in, then you don't ever even have to think about it again. And that's what I like. I don't like leaving it to chance that, you know, maybe the day of the game or the match, like, you're still kind of thinking about it, or you're telling yourself, oh, don't worry about it. I just like knowing that I've taken care of it already, and now I can just play freely.
Yeah, I love that. So get more reps and make sure that you're prepared in situations that you're not used to. I love that part that you talked about, you know, lighting in gyms. I mean, it can change so much. I remember in Korea, they had like a circle of light. It was like a sun in the middle of the entire, this dome gym. And I remember throwing the ball up to serve and literally it was gone. I didn't know where that ball was. And that was one of my first serves. And I only got like 3 in the warm up before the match. And I was just, it was the worst serving match ever. And I love serving, you know, so get those reps in, you know, check out your gym, look at the spots that when you're hitting, maybe, you know, or whatever you're doing, the key things that you have to do, find out what is happening in that space where you could be that could affect your game. So great tips there. And what is a book that you would give away to an athlete as a gift and why? And when you say this, I don't want you to think of athletes in the typical sense where they're just athletes. They're people. So it could be any book.
I would say You'll See It When You Believe It by Wayne Dyer. My coach, Michael Seeley at UCLA, he had us read this before, in my junior year before we went on. It was in preseason and we ended up winning. That was the year we won. And this book just really talks about putting yourself in the situation with a mentality that you can see yourself succeeding no matter what it is. And the book talks about, like, it doesn't even really cover on sports at all. It's really just about, like, every life situation, you know, whether it's getting over, you know, a bad breakup or the loss of a family member. Just really mentally preparing to put yourself in a good situation. And I personally loved that book.
Yeah, sounds like a great book. And Mike Seeley, for people listening, is almost becoming, like, a legendary coach in America. I mean, he already is. But I had the pleasure of being coached a little bit by him in the USA gym, and that guy knows what he's talking about. Wow. So good stuff there. Listen, now we're getting close to the end. You know, we're going to wrap up soon, and there's been a ton of value and so many different little nuggets that people can take away from all of this. Now, what I'd like to do now is talk a little bit about other people. And because it means so much that we're not just good people, but we show that and we have manners. So what's the best way that you like to show respect or manners to other people?
Well, when I first get to know someone new, I really try to make the conversation about them, like asking them questions, or, you know, like with my teammates here, you know, if it's like a group text or something and like, well, what do you guys want to do for this? Like, I'll always try to make sure that I'm putting this, like, a new person or like a new group first and trying to figure out more about how they work, because especially being overseas on these teams, you are, you know, sometimes the only odd one out from a different country or that doesn't speak the language. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's easy at times to be kind of caught in our own ways and what we're used to. And it's not that it comes across rude all the time, but I think that it, you know, we have to be respectful of the culture and the people that we're in here. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I like picking up, for example, being in Baku, I've been trying to, like, pick some new, like, Russian and Azeri words just out of respect and trying to learn more about their culture instead of, you know, just speaking English, which is so natural to me, and I don't know any other languages, so, you know, just doing little things like that to make it more about the other person instead of myself.
Yeah, I love that. That's a lot of really good information. And I think a lot of people can benefit from that, you know, just in general in life. Don't let it always be about yourself. You know, if you want to be that memorable person, you know, if you want to be that person that people go, wow, it was such a pleasure to meet them. I can tell you this tip from Tabby has got to be one of the biggest keys out there. Talk to people about themselves, like ask them, get to know them, because then they know that you actually care. If it's a new person, it's even better. It's a great way to connect. So speaking of other people, what's a cause that you like to contribute to, or just things or actions you like to take to add value to other people's lives?
When I'm back at home in the summers, I really like to do camps. This last summer, I was able to do two in Manitoba, one where our national team was located in Winnipeg, and one back at home in Dauphin. And I really enjoy seeing, especially with young kids who maybe have never even played volleyball before, you know, they're always so in awe of us. And I mean, you could go in there and just like toss a ball in the air and they're going to be like, wow, like,
yeah,
you're so cool, you're so tall, all these things. And, you know, I just enjoy seeing the pleasure that they get from it. And it, whether we're signing their arms, I'll never forget this past summer, so many kids are like begging us to sign like their arms or like things like their lunch kits, like things that you would, are you sure your parents aren't going to be mad about this? But
yeah.
No, just seeing their joy is so nice. And also, I really enjoy like taking, we get so much gear from being overseas. And it's always like, we always get winter jackets and like big, huge suitcases and things that you really don't need like 20 of.
Yeah.
And so every time that I'm home after a season away, I really like to go, we have like a donation drop-off place. And it's one of those ones where it's, you know, they take anything really. And then once a week or whatever, they have a certain day that where everybody from the community that needs it can come in and just kind of like sift through and take whatever they need.
Mm-hmm.
And I always really enjoy like putting together a bag for that just to try to, I'll see people, like I've seen little kids that my mom teaches, you know, in elementary school and stuff, like wearing, you know, like a shirt from like one of my pro seasons, or like a guy coming up to me saying like, thank you so much, like I really needed a pair of shoes and I saw like an extra pair of volleyball shoes that, you know, like my parents had given him, you know, things like that that
mm-hmm.
we kind of take for granted because we get so much of it and we don't even think twice. But like these could be deal breakers for these people, you know? So I just really enjoy that part of it.
Yeah, I love that. Giving back is just always such a great experience, you know, because you get to see people that didn't have something, now all of a sudden they have it, and you just see that optimism, you see that vitality, and it's great. It's inspirational. So, and speaking of which, you know, Elite Sports Students, this non-for-profit that I've started, we're looking for help. And so if anybody out there is wanting to volunteer their time, their effort, you know, it doesn't matter if it's mentoring, coaching on the web development side, anything at all, or to be on the committee, et cetera, et cetera, go to beyondathletic.com/help and sign up today, and you'll get on our mailing list to see what we're up to and what we're doing. And any kids that want to be a part of it, just go to beyondathletic.com/ESS for Elite Sports Students. So thanks so much for sharing that, Tabby. Now, before we give listeners how they can connect with you personally and follow you on your journey so far, I'd like to take a quick little break to ask you something really important, because in today's world, athletes have this power and they are really an inspiration to so many different people around the world. And right now, statistically, I mean, you have 1 out of 5 kids aged 7 to 12 that looks up to an athlete as their role model. Yet the stats are totally against athletes being role models, you know, whether it's aggressive behavior, prison time, going bankrupt after pro seasons, and all of these other things. I mean, it's just really sad. I saw a video today and I recommend it to people. Go check it out. It's a 10-minute short film called Off Season. Go look on Vimeo. I'll link it up in the show notes, but it shows exactly the kind of mentality and the life that a lot of athletes are living. So with knowing that many athletes get trapped in this kind of self-identity of only being an athlete, could you tell me your definition of being beyond athletic?
I think the biggest thing is to just have a healthy perspective on it. And I think that this can be hard because growing up, you know, so much of your life and your time was devoted to a sport. And when you have and you experience success within that, then it's really, really easy to forget about everything else. But if you can have the perspective that, you know, your sport is only one facet of your life and you have so many other talents beyond it. And I think that at every point of any athlete's career, I think there is that a little bit of like identity crisis and like, well, what am I? You know, am I just an athlete?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, once you realize other things you're good at, like maybe you're good at baking or writing or, you know, video games or like things that you wouldn't even really think of. But if you can expand these other facets of your life, then I think that it becomes easier to pursue other interests. And I think that it's only healthy that you have these outlets, because if you just live and breathe your sport, it can become very, not only monotonous, but also dangerous, because then if your sport isn't going well for you, well then, like, what do you have left? What, like, you'll feel so empty inside, and that's a terrible, you don't want to feel that way, and you don't want to put yourself in that position. So I think that just trying to take the time and putting yourself out there in areas or hobbies that maybe you haven't even tried before, or maybe you've always wanted to try but been scared, I think that that's the first step towards being beyond athletic.
Love it. And before I tell listeners how they can connect with you, I'd just like to acknowledge you for being the person that you are. And really, I know I contacted you a month or so ago about this, and you were on it. You know, you said, yes, I want to do it. And then you found the time to do it. And I think that's just really commendable of you. And I really respect you for that and taking the time. And I appreciate you sharing your story with us today. And it's been great to know a little bit more about you. So
awesome. Thank you.
What I'd like to do is, why don't you give people a way that they can connect with you if they, for instance, are younger athletes or whatever, and they are looking for some advice and ways to follow you.
Sure. I have an Instagram page that's Tabby Love Volley. I also have a Twitter page that is the same, Tabby Love Volley. And then I also have a Gmail account, you know, if you're a younger viewer and you maybe want to have a pen pal type relationship, tabbylovevolley@gmail.com. And then I also have an athlete fan page on Facebook that you can find it under just Tabby Love.
And I'm going to link all of that up. And that is a really special offer that I hope some young kids take her up on, because it's not very often that you have an athlete at her level saying, hey, here's my personal email, you can contact me and maybe we can have some pen pal relationship where they ask you questions or et cetera, et cetera. So thank you so much for that. And thanks for coming on the show. All the best and take care.
Thank you so much for the opportunity and take care.
Did you like the show? Leave a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher.com so others will find us, and share the love. Think of one person that could benefit and send them the link for this episode. For more resources and tips, go to beyondathletic.com or tweet us at beyondathletic. I appreciate and thank you for listening.
What we doing live? Echoes in eternity.
I'm going to show you how great I am.
And this concludes our Chicago show. Please stay tuned.